Good morning, I'm Veronica Rickert, and I'm happy to be with you here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Well, there's so much free-floating anxiety in the air today when you're a parent that it can be hard sometimes not to spend your life in a complete panic. Well, this hour we're trying to give you some positive ideas for what you can do instead of just what to be afraid of. For starters, we'll be talking about the Green Hour idea, the organization and plan to get your kids to spend an hour outside every day, to get them involved in the natural world and to feel like they're part of it. And then for the second half of the hour, we'll be inspired by the hip-hop group The Figureheads. They're a kids' hip-hop group that writes and performs positive music to kids that promotes healthy choices, literacy, and inclusivity. And we welcome your phone calls this morning. We'd love to hear what works for you to get your kids outside and connected with nature, how you get your kids feeling positive in terms of the media they take in particular the music that they listen to. Our number is 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234, and you can always send your email to talk@wpr.org. Our first guest this morning is Todd Christopher. He's the author of the book, The Green Hour, A Daily Dose of Nature for Happier, Healthier, Smarter Kids. He's the co-founder of the National Wildlife Federation's Green Hour campaign to promote the well-being of kids and families through regular exposure to and interaction with the natural world around them. And Todd Christopher, I'm so glad you could join us today.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.
Well, tell us a bit about the Green Hour idea. What is it?
You know, basically, it's all about finding balance in your family's lifestyle. We right now stand at this point where the kids today spend significantly less time outdoors than their parents did, and it's something that we've arrived at very slowly over time. It's not like in any given year we just sort of realized kids weren't getting outdoors, but if you look at any sort of measurement, whether it's visits to national parks or the amount of unstructured free playtime kids have each day, they're living a very different life than their parents did and their grandparents before them. So the Green Hour is a notion of just reserving a little bit of time to unplug, step away from the media and the chores and everything that sort of, you know, characterizes our very busy modern lives, and to have time to reconnect with nature and with each other.
It's funny because on the one hand, an hour seems like such a paltry amount of time in a day. Surely we can spare an hour, right? But then when you actually are in the thick of it, you're down in the trenches, an hour seems like a lot of time to carve out.
You know, it really is. And I'll be perfectly honest, there are days where it's really a challenge to achieve that. And probably more helpful than anything is to think of Green Hour more as a state of mind. You know, in our family, we talk a lot with our kids about the power of developing habits and how easy it is to develop habits, both positive and negative. And it's really about making sure that you keep that connection alive each day. I mean, we always say that for a child who otherwise wouldn't have gotten outside, even 15 hours or 15 minutes a day is a very good start.
Well, tell us a little bit about how you accomplish that. How do you make it part of your day to get out there? And what do you do when you're outside? I mean, you can get out the door, but then what?
Yeah, exactly. In starting this, one thing that we did is we talked to a lot of parents, trying to figure out what are the obstacles and what are the barriers that are keeping them from getting outdoors, because it's really not for a lack of wanting to do this. A lot of parents, I think, inherently understand the benefit of this. And, you know, without exception, it really is often a matter of how you balance your time. One thing that is incredibly helpful is to model the behavior that you want your kids to follow, especially insofar as media is concerned. No one's saying kill your television or throw your portable devices away. Those are just realities of modern life and their conveniences that really, you know, have great benefit to us. I think the real instructive part is when you show your kids that you've got the capacity to set them aside and to put first things first and to focus on having really meaningful quality time with them. The fact that you do this by stepping out into the outdoors, by interacting in nature, where, you know, now this body of research shows what parents have known for generations, that this time is fundamentally good for kids' mind, body, and spirit, that just sort of seals the deal.
Tell us some of that research. I think it can help to understand why it matters so much.
You know, I have two children. They're 6 and 9, and I know that I'm just now on the cusp of them stepping into a much larger world than you can sort of control when they're younger. The influence of media on their lives especially is going to be great, whether that comes in the form of of video games, TV, music. I mean, some of the studies that are out there are kind of really just astonishing. The Kaiser Family Foundation has done a great deal of research into this area over the past 5 to 6 years. And their most recent figures put really an astonishing amount of young people's time involved each day with digital media. I'm trying to make sure I've got the number right offhand, but for kids between the ages of 8 and 18, if you take their combined use of media, time spent on the computer, cell phones, texting, any sort of electronic or screen-based device, it ends up being something in excess of 11 hours of their day. So really, it's more than a full-time job for them to be consuming these media.
So then getting outside is even more important.
Well, it absolutely is. And the thing about the media consumption is it's very clearly tied to some of the things that we're very much concerned about. I mean, things like attention deficit in the past generation have you know, that's gone from a malady that was sort of not even diagnosed to something that is completely off the charts. I mean, the U.S. consumes something like 80 to 90% of the world's methylphenidate, which is the prescription medication we all usually know as Ritalin. But it's not just that. The connection that kids have to media, I mean, they essentially are becoming, it's almost like an in loco parentis situation. And the studies that have been released now, and there was a groundbreaking one last year from Common Sense Media that they did in conjunction with several universities, they took a comprehensive look at many long-term studies evaluating the positive or negative outcomes of kids based on their amount of time spent with media. And without exception, it wasn't a good picture. I mean, things like academic achievement, the early adoption of undesirable behaviors such as trying alcohol or other drugs, I mean, right across the board, you could see this very tight correlation between that time and those behaviors.
Okay, but so why is nature the antidote to all of that?
Well, I think the research really started to tip in this favor probably back around 2004. There were researchers at the University of Chicago who had this groundbreaking study that found that time spent outdoors, time spent in green settings, and this could be something as simple as just going for a walk through the park or getting out on your lunch break and spending some time outside, had very very clear and very strong associations with the reduction of attentional difficulties. And this doesn't just mean people who have a diagnosis of ADD or ADHD. It means anyone would find that they would have better powers of concentration. They would find a lessening of impulsive behaviors, and they would basically come back from those experiences with greater focus, feeling of being refreshed and sort of feeling revived. And that was really just the beginning of the research. Those same researchers have done follow-ups, and other researchers have done similar studies, and they all kind of paint a very similar picture, that even in small bursts, time spent outdoors, time spent, you know, in sunshine, in fresh air, interacting in green spaces, elevates your mood, elevates positive brain chemistry, boosts your feelings of vitality, and has positive effect on your intellect. You just feel good.
So can you give us maybe 3 or 4 activities that we can do when we do get outside with the kids? What can we do out there to make it fun for them and fun for us?
Yeah. You know, so one of the great things about this, about making the decision to kind of put everything on hold and get outside for any amount of time with your kids, is it's like free license to go revisit your own childhood. Put everything aside, open the door, fresh eyes, sense of wonder, and just start exploring. I mean, just imagine a series of circles fanning out from your backyard. There's a larger and larger world to explore, and you can adapt a host of activities based on the age level and the interests of kids. I mean, truly, you could take no more than a few steps outdoors and start turning over rocks and patio blocks and finding a whole hidden world there that you can explore. And for the younger children, that's often the best place to start. You're interacting with nature at a scale that's very approachable, very tangible, very very comfortable for them. And I'm talking about just the world of worms and pill bugs and things that are playing in the dirt.
So just get down there and look at things. Maybe get a field guide or something and try to figure out what bug it is you're looking at or what bird is singing in your backyard.
It's always good and always helpful to know things, but I think there's a lot of power in going out with your kids and letting them know that you don't know. It's okay to say, I don't know. It's even better if you turn that into let's find out. You become compatriots, and you explore, and you learn together. That's a really subtle thing, but I think it's a very powerful message to impart to them. Knowledge is terrific, but I think wonder is even better, and wonder has to come first.
Let's take our first phone call now. We have Vivian joining us from Deerfield, Illinois. Hi, Vivian.
Well, good morning. I am just so delighted to be able to hear this program. I'm actually on my way up to our cottage in Green Bay, and this is just hitting home for me. When I was raised as a young child, we moved from a city environment to a fairly new suburban area where there were swamps and little areas. Everything we did was out of doors, and we hunted spiders, and we caught, you know, lizards, and all these things. We were out all the time, and I just felt that was a very wonderful upbringing. And then in the early 70s, I was married. We had a daughter. Unfortunately, very high-powered lives, didn't have enough time to do those kinds of things, did go on some camping trips on occasion to expose her a little bit, but not enough. And she grew up being afraid of spiders and anything creepy crawly, you know. Well, fortunately now we've got a grandson and another on the way, and with the ability to be able to go out of doors, we live on the bay or have a place on the bay. I take my grandson for the last, he's now seven, for the last 4 years, been taking him outside and doing that, just that, turning over the rocks, showing him things, teaching him not to be afraid to do, but to be very, you know, to inquire about things. I gave him a notebook so that he could, even when he was just scribbling as a little kid, I gave him a notebook to, you know, to have him start drawing. What do you see? What do you think they're doing? What is that? And I can see that he's so much better, and my daughter's very thankful for that. She also is the director of Montessori school, so fortunately he was exposed. They go out of doors. They do exploring, and I believe this next child will have his early years the same way. It's just so important, and I'm just so glad to hear about this. I think Green Hour is wonderful. I wish it were, you know, green every day, you know. 24 hours, 24/7, you know.
Oh, Vivian, thank you so much for that phone call. I think I'm going to take some notes about what you suggested there. It sounds like you're really getting out there with your grandchildren, and the idea of the notebook. That's a wonderful one to have them doodle what they're seeing there. What do you think about that idea, Christopher? Hi, Christopher.
You know, Vivian makes a really wonderful point, which is important to remember, that our kids, when we're outdoors, can teach us just as much as we can teach them. You know, the whole concept of being afraid or squeamish of these things, it really is learned. It's kind of humbling to go out of doors with a 3 or 4-year-old if you're afraid of creepy crawlies and watch how fearless many of them are. I'm not going to say all of them are. But it does remind us that we have to also, you know, keep our reactions in check, because we really are communicating those things to them.
We're talking this morning with Todd Christopher. He's the author of The Green Hour, A Daily Dose of Nature for Happier, Healthier, Smarter Kids. And we welcome your ideas about how to get your children out in nature, what you found that works for you, or if you have questions, you want some inspiration from our guests this morning, you can do that too. Our number is 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234, or send your email to talk@wpr.org. Veronica Rickert with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Veronica Rickert here with you this morning on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Wanted to let you know that our fall pledge drive starts next week, and we're asking you to help take days off the drive. For every 800 donations we get by October 4th, we'll take an entire day off the pledge drive. So far, we've gotten 1,139 pledges, and that means we've taken one day off the drive, and we'll take another day off after more 461 pledges. So 460 more pledges will take another day off the drive. Something to think about. Get a head start on the fall membership drive. And we're talking this hour, at least this half hour, with Todd Christopher. He's the author of the book The Green Hour, A Daily Dose of Nature for Happier, Healthy, and Smarter Kids. Getting ideas for ways to get your family out of doors and interacting with nature again so that kids grow up to be stewards, good stewards of the planet, and feel like they're part of it. Our next call comes from Therese. She's calling from Hale's Corners. Hi, Therese.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to call and say that I think that sometimes people think that there's a lot of effort into doing this and that there really isn't. And living in a metropolitan area, such as myself in Milwaukee, there are so many phenomenal resources that I think are underutilized. When my kids were small, though we still do this, they're now ages 14, 11, and 9, but we went often to the Ware Nature Center, and the programs they offer there are phenomenal at low cost. And there's the Schlitz Audubon Center. The Urban Ecology Center is phenomenal. Our park system, and the woman that called earlier mentioning the notebook, don't underestimate the other adults in your children's lives. I had a friend that when she was living in the area, when my oldest daughter was a toddler, she just did such neat, simple things with her. We went to the Racine Zoo one time, or the Kenosha Zoo, and my daughter had a question about monkeys, so then she gave her a notebook so she could record her questions. Another time we were with her, she gave her a jar of glass that had been weathered in Lake Michigan, and just, you know, those very simple things. So I also see in the schools, we talk about all the time about, you know, the schools and what they can do, and my kids happen to go to parochial school, but they have a small garden that the kids take turns working in. In fourth grade, now my son, next week is his turn. They do an outdoor education series where the kids go on an overnight, and they're all the programming is focused on, you know, the environmental and kind of physical science end of things. So I think there's just so much that can be done, because when I first heard what you were going to be talking about, I thought, oh my gosh, if someone put something else in my plate that I'm supposed to fit in a day with my children,
yeah.
And then the talk about extending, you know, the school year, I'm thinking, I want more time to just do what we want to do instead of what someone else is telling us we need to do, that I felt a bit overwhelmed. But then, you know, as the conversation started, I thought, these are things that people can do really easily, that instead of viewing it as, oh my gosh, there's one more thing I have to check off my list. So
yeah.
Those are my comments.
Right. Well, thank you, Therese. Thank you for calling. And, you know, just to share a bit from my own life, I have discovered, as our guest is talking about, that the outdoors really has this kind of happy pill effect on my family. And just recently, I've started saying, well, after we get home from school, we have a snack and we practice piano for 10 minutes and then we go outside. And you're just listening this morning, I'm already thinking about the notebook and the nature walk, and it can just be a time to explore the seasons and the world, and it can be incredibly simple. So I'm hoping that that's something that we can make a real part of our lives. And thank you for your ideas, Therese. Some good stuff there, don't you think, Todd Christopher?
Well, you know, absolutely. And a couple of points I'd like to quickly make in follow-up to that. It is absolutely true that the kids who do grow up with sort of a heightened environmental awareness, a higher ethic towards stewardship of the environment, those are the kids who've had not only positive outdoor experiences as a child, but those are the kids who've been outdoors and have been taken there by a trusted or loving adult, and they've had these wonderful, you know, experiences in that context. You can't underestimate the importance and the value of that bond in sort of, you know, making that relationship more firm and making that mindset more firm. And just one other thing, you know, going outside and playing, it's one of these things that looks like nothing, and it really is something. I mean, kids at play, I mean, that's the work of childhood, and it's really important. And we just need to let them explore the world, you know, at their pace, and, you know, find it at a scale that's comfortable for them. When the caller mentioned things like the Urban Ecology Center and other wonderful resources that might be not only your backyard but your local community, we have to be very careful not to imagine a nature without people. Nature doesn't have to have this capital N and be this, you know, grandiose thing that is picturesque and idyllic, but we imagine ourselves right out of the picture. I mean, nature begins when you open that back door and you step out into it.
So are you saying we don't have to go to the nature centers?
Oh, well, I think they're terrific, especially if you're in an urban center and that is sort of the closest green space to you.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess what I'm saying, standing in opposition to the notion of needing to be out in wilderness, you know, these really grandiose depictions that we sometimes have, of course those are wonderful spaces, but they're not the things that we can get to every day. I think what's more important is that it's a state of mind, that there's this constant interaction with it. We imagine ourselves as beings that really are intended to be in nature and to be interacting with nature. It's in our nature not to be removed from nature.
Okay, another call. We've got Jim with us from Waupun. Hi, Jim.
Hello. just wanted to add that biking is really a valuable activity for kids. We took our grandchildren, 8 and 10 years old, on two separate we have one tandem, and my wife rode that one and captained that one, and then I had another hybrid bike with a trailer bike, and we put on the road at Sturgeon Bay and rode all the way up to Dunes State Park. And when we got done with that round trip that day, we had done 30 miles. And my grandson, who's 8 years old, was just blown away by that. If you had told him in the beginning that he could ride 30 miles in a day, he would have just wouldn't have believed it. But he got so excited, he said, "Grandpa, I want to do 40 miles tomorrow."
Wow.
And so the next day we rode from Bailey's Harbor up to Ephraim, and then had ice cream and lunch at that famous drive-in there. In Ephraim, absolutely wonderful. We took another trip this summer on the Rails to Trail Trail, Elroy Sparta Trail, and went through those tunnels. And someone had told us sometimes you can see fish on the side of the tunnel where the drainage goes along the sides of the tunnel. And I'll be darned if we didn't see a fish there. We must have spent 15 minutes wondering how it got there, or where it was going to go. It was amazing to see the explosion, smashing the smithereens of that mental construct that the grandchildren had about how far they could ride on a bike in a day.
Yeah, that's great. I'm glad you brought up bikes. What do you think about getting on your bike or doing something besides being on foot, Todd?
I'm a huge fan. And, I know in Wisconsin you have the benefit of being in wonderful rail trail country. We're also lucky to live very close to something called the WNOD Trail. It is one of these old converted railroad beds. These are amazing places. They become linear parks that usually are highly accessible, usually connecting communities, and you basically get to get out there on foot, on bike, pushing a stroller, and have a completely valid nature experience. It's really wonderful, and it's something that our family does probably on a weekly basis.
Well, thank you so much for your call, Jim. And Todd Christopher, we're out of time for our half hour on very quickly. But I want to thank you so much for joining us and sharing your ideas with us.
Oh, it was my pleasure. I wish you many happy green hours.
Todd Christopher, author of The Green Hour, a daily dose of nature for happier, healthier, smarter kids. He's the co-founder of the National Wildlife Federation's Green Hour campaign to promote the well-being of kids and families through regular exposure to and interaction with the natural world around them. And we thank you so much for your calls. And we'll keep talking about positive things to do with your kids that can help them be better, smarter, happier, and feel better about themselves, ways to improve their self-esteem as well. And we move now to our next guests. We have with us Greg Marshall and Jeremy Bryan, who are members of the hip-hop group The Figureheads. They're a Milwaukee-based group that writes and performs positive hip-hop to kids that promotes healthy choices, literacy, and inclusivity. And we have some samples of their music. Why don't we take a listen now before we meet them? We'll listen to a track called Spark.
You got it. It's the spark empowering you to build life like the work of art. Got a spark in you, baby. Your fire hotter than Hades, waiting for you to take it, shake it, and start innovating. Create your art and then work it, even though people are hating. Taking your breath and then use it to say what nobody's saying. You got a spark in you, baby. But you've been caught in the daily gossip that's got you frustrated. You gotta break it, young lady. Wake up and make a new way to be who you are. Cause I hate to see people caught in the current, but I'm still waiting patiently. There's a spark in you, player, but it ain't doing you favors. Cause you're in love with you and that don't do much good for your neighbors. You're like a spark in the fire pit, y'all. But if you desire that, you can light all this firewood up and change your environment. And this fire was nothing more than the gifts that you got in your personality mixed with your purpose. That's what you're living for.
A track called Spark from The Figureheads, a Milwaukee-based hip-hop group that writes and performs positive hip-hop to kids. And Greg Marshall, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you for having us on.
Yeah, I think we're still waiting for Jeremy Bryan. I think we're working on him. But as long as we've got you on, tell us about The Figureheads. How did you decide to get together and write positive hip-hop for kids?
Well, it wasn't a natural and intentional decision, actually. We just love creating music, and Jeremy and I met each other in college at UW-Milwaukee, and then eventually Jeremy introduced me to Dave, and we started making music for the regular music scene. But we decided to move together to Madison to really build on whatever we could do in the regular music scene. And we had jobs working with youth in a variety of places. I was working with kids in, as an in-home therapist for kids who have autism and other developmental delays and disabilities. Jeremy was overseeing an after-school program for kids who were in homeless situations. And we were just using music naturally to connect with kids, and one thing led to another, and I was working with a child, 10-year-old little girl who was struggling with autism, and I created a song for her, and it helped her achieve some of her goals in some really cool ways. And the psychologist I was working for said, "You guys, you should write music for kids." And so it kind of just happened by loving music and loving to work with kids. And created these opportunities to do it, and we decided that this would be a really great way to invest our gifts in the community. So we started writing music for youth.
And you mentioned a girl whose music was really, who's used your music to change her life. Is this Annie you're talking about?
Yeah, Annie was kind of a big part of what sparked it. There was other kids that some cool stuff was happening with as well, but Annie was definitely kind of the relationship that sparked a lot of what we're doing now.
Well, what happened with her? That's a story you get into on your website. Could you tell us what happened with Annie?
Yeah, I met with her in over the summer, and the biggest problem that Annie was having was her morning routine was really hard. It took an hour and a half to get ready. Oftentimes, she was combative with her mom, couldn't order her thoughts and her routine very well, and so she would go to school very unregulated, kind of just frustrated, and mom then would have to wait the whole day, frustrated herself, for waiting for her daughter to come back so they could reconnect and move forward. But and so I just, you know, decided to create a song that would order her routine. She talked about, I asked her, so what happens in the morning? She said mom would come in and say, "Good morning, sunshine," and open the blinds. And so we just created this song that ordered her routine. She would listen to it when she went to bed. She would listen to it when she got up, while she was eating breakfast, and while she's waiting for the bus. And over a period of several weeks, her routine went from about an hour and a half to about 20 minutes. And so her mom was super excited. The song was taken to school, and the teacher said that it helped her kind of understand Annie a little bit better. And then Annie was able to use the song to actually spark friendships. And she would just talk about the song that is about her. And we just realized that this music not only helped her overcome a practical sort of obstacle, but it also strengthened her ability to build relationships with her mom, with her dad, with her teacher, with classmates. And so the psychologist I was working for, Dr. Andy Paulson at Integrated Development Services in Madison, was just like, you know, this is amazing. We got to figure out a way to do this for more kids. And he was very generous in supporting us and helping us develop what we do within that clinic site. And so, yeah, it was a beautiful situation.
Well, we actually have a little bit of Annie's song. Let's listen.
Good morning, Annie. How you doing, girl? Yeah, the sun's shining. Good morning, sunshine. All right, I'm feeling good today. It's time to get up and get things ready, right? Yeah, that's right. It's time to get ready. So let's do it like this, all right? Check it out. Yo, I know when to wake up. I know when it's time. My mom gives me a hug and says, "Good morning, sunshine." I know what happens then, it happens every time. After I wake up, my mom opens up the blinds. Then I have to go to the bathroom, yeah, I go. That's right, uh-huh, I know, put my feet down on the floor. Next, I pick out clothes, from my head down to my toes. But first, I check the weather to see if it's warm or cold. Gotta make a choice, gotta make a good decision. When I get my clothes on, I get to go to the kitchen. Gotta make a choice.
It's a little bit of the song you wrote for Annie. You can hear the routine there, and you can see why she'd be proud of having a song like that.
Yeah, it was a very cool thing. I know that, you know, it definitely made a huge impact in her life and in her family's life, and we ended up getting together even after that to just talk about music and look at lyrics and listen to it together. It was very, very big thing for her.
And we have Jeremy Bryan on the line now with us as well, another member of the Figureheads. Hi, Jeremy.
Hello, hello.
Well, we're just listening to a bit of Annie's song there and talking about how you got started. Yeah. And I think one of the interesting things about the figureheads is that, as we all know, there's a lot of negative social messages right now for kids, not just for kids, for grown-ups too, but I mean, it hits kids hard. And we're not even just talking about hip-hop, but hip-hop does get singled out a lot as carrying a lot of negative messages about violence, about materialism, things like that. Did you want to combat that with this? Was that part of the goal?
Yeah, I mean, that wasn't an intention in the sort of original design. For me, it was literacy and hip-hop were so tied together growing up, and I found an expression through hip-hop, though often it's perceived as negative, which is actually a very therapeutic thing. Like, you get to vent things that are not normally vented, and whether that's through comedy or through hip-hop, it's a very subversive thing at its root, but at the same time, it's a very, very cool way to interact, a very cool way to dialogue in a democratic way. So starting in the roots of hip-hop, I grew up on the East Coast. It was a very kind of a community thing, dance, party, MC, rap, you know, sing. And so for me, creating hip-hop music, and I'm sure Greg mentioned this, out of relationships with youth, who are having a really hard time connecting academically or relationally, using hip hop is just a very natural way to be like, listen, we can get a little bit of how you're feeling, and one of the best ways to express that is through this energy and this rhythm that hip hop provides. And so it was more out of a love for hip hop that we got into it, and only secondarily did we think, well, hopefully this in some kids' iPods and in daily routines will replace some of the more negative messages coming through top 40 hip hop. And so that's kind of a secondary thing that we hope comes out of or springs out of this sense of joy in hip hop, the sense of venting raw emotion and having a lot of fun with talking about things that don't normally get talked about in day-to-day conversations.
And Greg, could you tell us about some of the songs that you've written? What are they about?
Well, like Jeremy said, especially our youth music that starts with pre-K all the way through elementary and middle school and high school, 99% of it is birthed out of relationships with kids that we've actually mentored or kids that we've tutored, kids that have been in a classroom that we've taught or have been in a therapy session with. And we just enter into that moment where I kind of think of it this way, where I pursue to understand and identify with where a kid is at, and then to look for ways to help them flourish, even if it means me, you know, sacrificing for myself and kind of being confused and working really hard. But what does it mean to actually connect with where a kid is at and move them forward? And that was kind of at the heartbeat of it, but the songs would come out of that experience of what does it mean to actually have traction with the kid, to enter into their world, meet them where they are, help them move forward, and then what kind of a song would come out of that? And it wasn't detached from what we just were already doing. Music writing was already a part of who we are and what we were doing, so it just made sense to represent it and to even use music in the process of meeting the kid where they're at. And so the songs are about that. The songs are about the kids we've interacted with and the process we've been in with them to help them move forward.
Yeah, and the Soul Bling song kind of represents the heart of it, which is kids need, at a very core level, they need to be affirmed before they can be challenged to grow. And so affirmation is kind of the first thing that came out of the music is, you know, joyful songs of celebration of community and then affirming an individual child right where they're at before, you know, the deficit-driven rhetoric of most, like, educational environments that I grew up in was, well, let's start with your weaknesses. And in our case, it's like, no, let's start with what you're good at. You're already a communicator. Even if you can't read and write yet, you're telling me stories in ways that, you know, make me think you're an amazing storyteller. Now literacy is yours. You just have to apply it now to the paper. You have to be able to read it and then write it. And so let's start with the fact that you're already a symbol-using person, you know? Like, let's start there.
Yeah, I really like that, the idea that the kid needs to be affirmed first, just as a person. That's a really positive starting block. And in most cases, we panic right away and think, oh, they're not reading enough better. They need to read better. They need to get better at math. And you're saying just love them where they are.
Yep. Yeah, I think if a child doesn't feel like the people in their life are able to accept them and even celebrate where they're actually at, they're never really going to be able to move forward very well, because no one's ever met them where they actually are and enabled them to find how to move forward. It's kind of like you always get talked to at, like, I'm supposed to be over here. And so we try to pretend like we're there, or we just shut down. And so many kids I've met have just shut off. I mean, I met a 11, 12-year-old boy the other day who has no clue how to read, barely knew sounds of letters. And I was trying to understand why he's at this place, and it was just clear as day, at least in my opinion, that at some point he just shut off because no one was able to enter in where he really was and to help him find the realistic steps forward. He just always felt like, this isn't my world, learning is not my place, I don't have the ability to do this. He always just felt like, you know, every attempt at it was going to be a failure. So yeah, it's amazing to create music that helps kids feel comfortable with where they're at, and not only there, but to also create music and experiences for teachers and parents to kind of let go of the anxieties that exist with wanting our kids to be in a certain place, but really connecting where they're at and celebrating them and moving them forward.
Well, we actually have the song you were talking about, Soul Bling. Let's take a listen.
You're the only you I see. You're a gift to your family. You're the only that be on the planet to sing with me. I'm the only me there is, even though there are lots of kids. I'm the only me there is, even though there are lots of kids.
You've got your own style, kid. Don't worry about what he said or she did. Don't give it too much thought. Just do how you do and walk your walk, because you've got bling like a bird's got wings. Face it, you fly even without more things. As you begin to understand real wealth, as good relationships and good health, it's gonna help you be your true self.
The song Soul Bling from The Figureheads. A couple members are with us this morning from The Figureheads. They're a Milwaukee-based hip-hop group that writes and performs positive hip-hop for kids to promote healthy choices, literacy, and inclusivity. And we welcome your phone calls this morning. What do you think about having these positive messages in hip-hop music for kids? Have you found music to be a good way to kind of get inside the head of a kid and help them to move forward? Our number is 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, and our email is talk@wpr.org. Veronica Rickert, and this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
You cannot keep me in the box, cause I've got the key to the lock. You cannot keep me in the box, cause I've got the key to the lock. Do you know where you're from and where you wanna be?
Where you at? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you know where you're at and where you ought to be?
Yeah.
I'm learning how to use my inner GPS, learning that the one who can see me best is me. And I've got to figure out for myself what it is that I want to be about. I know I want more than a fantasy. I want to be part of a real family. And there's some heroes in there I can see, who live full of love, left a good legacy. And I want to be one of those folks who tried the best and never gave up hope, even when it was hard like schoolwork.
That was the song Where You At from The Figureheads. Greg Marshall and Jeremy Bryan are members of The Figureheads, a Milwaukee-based hip-hop group that writes and performs positive hip-hop for kids. They're our guests this morning. And we'll take our first phone call now for The Figureheads. We've got Julia with us from Oshkosh. Hi, Julia.
Yes, hi. I just tuned in and heard the song that had a lot of positive messages for kids about just being who you are and being comfortable with that. And you asked your listeners, do you think it's a good idea to have those kinds of musics? And I'm a mom of a 5-year-old girl, and I'm also a dietitian. And I know of a colleague of mine. I'm not promoting her CD or advocating or anything, but for us, it has worked very well. Her name is Jill Jane. She's also known as the Rockstar Nutritionist or Jumping Jill. And she has a CD that is just full of positive messages about eating healthy, healthy self-esteem, taking care of your body, et cetera, et cetera. And I can tell you, at least for us as a family, it's been wonderful. My kid now sings those songs. And more importantly, when she sits down to eat, she recognizes those healthy choices in foods, and she recognizes that she is taking an active role in taking care of her body and herself. And so, at least for us, music has been very, very beneficial in getting that kind of message out.
All right. Well, thank you so much for the call, Julia. Greg and Jeremy, what do you think it is about music that makes it easier to connect with kids?
Well, the scientific part of it is definitely beyond my reach in terms of wrapping language around how the left brain as a processing language and the right brain processing more of the poetic side of language and how all that interacts and the rhythm of music. We've had psychologists who have mentored us and surrounded us and who have attempted to help me understand how it all works scientifically, and there's some really great research out there. But from an artist's perspective, it's just always connected with me. I remember as a kid turning on music and listening to a hip-hop beat and just feeling like something in me was awakened. I felt like I was actually alive. When I go to school, I felt like I was dead. I felt like I couldn't track. I couldn't pay attention very easily. I'd open a book and I just would feel stuck. But when music would come on, it was like something in my body felt regulated. It felt like I was more, was operating at a more optimal level and created more joy in the moment. I don't know what it is, but I think just something about music awakens our ability to maybe even take in information and communicate it out. Maybe that's why a lot of negative hip-hop is so, can be so damaging, is because the rhythm of it allows us to take in this information and kind of marinate in it, and it, you know, becomes a part of how we think and how we feel. And you know, maybe that's why. I'm not exactly sure how to explain it specifically.
Yeah, no, that sounds like a great explanation. I think you're right. There's something about music that it's sort of like a direct pipeline to the brain and the emotions.
Mm-hmm.
It just goes right in there. And I think a lot of people feel like you do, that music can up the joy level.
Yeah.
And we have another call here, James in Milwaukee. Hi, James.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Awesome. I heard you. I just turned the radio on like 10 minutes ago. It's kind of refreshing to hear something fun and positive for kids. It's not Rafi. I'm in the Milwaukee area, and I wanted to know if there's, A, a website I could go to, and, B, if he was going to be doing any shows in the area anytime soon. I have a 3-year-old daughter. I think it would be fun for her.
Yeah, our website is figureheadsinc.org. You can check out the music there, check out more about the mission. And in terms of public performances, but we just played Overture Center in Madison this past weekend, most of our engagements are within public schools. So it's hard to advertise them as like, come on out, everybody, because only a couple people can get like a guest pass for that. But if you go on the site, we'll update any public performances that are coming up. And let you know.
And I should point out we have a link on the WPR web page. You can just click on Veronica Rickert and you can find a link to the Figureheads web page. And we have a call now from Carl in Madison. Welcome, Carl.
Hello. Yes, I just wanted to say I think this idea of beginning where children are and hearing their voices and really recognizing what they carry, what they bring to the relationship is such a powerful way of addressing anything in education. And I think through music, perhaps the same message that an adult might tell you as advice, it comes across differently when you hear it as a song that you can accept. I think you go to a different place when you listen to music, and I think that there's just something really powerful in that relationship. And in your conversation with Linda Berry last week, I felt the same way. There's just something really powerful about just embracing who the person you're talking to or you're communicating with is and beginning from that. And I just wanted to salute these gentlemen for taking that perspective to a pretty powerful connection with kids.
Great.
Thank you.
Thanks.
So talking again about starting with saluting the person where you are, and it seems like, do you think that's something that we were just figuring out now about how to relate to children, or do you think that's something that, you know, good educators and effective parents have known all along?
Yeah, I think it's a commonality that you'll find in a lot of good parenting and good teaching. I know I was recently in New Haven, Connecticut, connecting with a teacher who, her core strategy is with middle schoolers just being like, listen, I know I cannot change you, and I will not be attempting to do so. I will simply be loving you where you're at, showing you the choices that you have in front of you, and giving you kind of the long vision of where those choices will lead you. And I found that really refreshing, this idea that, like, kids know, we have radars even as humans for when people are patronizing us or attempting to manipulate or shift and change us. But when we're given the space and the freedom to be like, okay, the choice is mine, and I'm going to start using the relational kind of connection I have with my teacher and the love I have for this music, and I'm going to start stepping tentatively, if not strongly, towards the directions that they're showing me will bear fruit later in life. And so when the vision is presented clearly, kids are like, yeah, of course that's what I want, and oh, this is what I need to do to get there. Okay, well, you're speaking my language now, and I'm willing to step with you, and rather than just kind of buck up against, you know, like the whole time. So that's kind of one of the more refreshing perspectives I've heard, and she's part of a network of people who are seeking to really renew the educational system there, because everything has been so direct instructional, so like fill in the blank or color in this bubble kind of idea.
Yeah.
And that is definitely something that, you know, has to be challenged.
Well, and speaking of effective educators, let's take a call from Jackie in Sun Prairie.
Hello.
Hi, Jackie.
Greg, I don't know if you recall. I suppose that you do. I was your high school English teacher back in the day.
Hey, how's it going?
yes, and I saw you perform, actually, at Lodi, where you graduated from, and saw his group perform, and it was marvelous, and it was marvelous for all kids, and I'm just so proud of his your ability to take a lifelong fascination with music and beat. In high school, he had a group that sang in four-part harmony, and it was a kind of an extraordinary thing. And also did a lot of modern music and rap and that sort of thing. So it's a wonderful thing that you managed to put together all of these things and a love for song, poetry, literature, and that you're able to reach out to kids and bring them along in this. It's not just the music. The music is important because that automatically gets into kids at a different level, but it's also the words and basically who you are, the both of you, and probably your group, of reaching out to kids and seeing, helping them to see that, you know, they can they're a lot already. They just have to start realizing how much more they can be or make themselves, and it just warms my heart to see such a great program going on with you.
Thank you so much for your call, Jackie. And obviously, yeah. Greg, you're trading in words now, and English teachers help with that.
Yeah, I have a really strong reference point with Jackie in high school. When I was in the library one time in high school, I basically kind of did whatever I had to do to get through. When I would kind of just skim stuff or whatever, wasn't really engaged. And then one day she came up to me and said, you know, here's a book that I think you might like because the character in it reminds me of you. And it was Catcher in the Rye.
Uh-huh.
And it was the first book that I actually sat down and read through. And it was one of those moments where I realized I was probably a junior or senior in high school when I hadn't even engaged with a book like that until that point. And so it was, I sat down with it, and I felt like there was an honest and genuine identification with who I was, and just kind of gave me the option of, like, you should maybe look at this. This reminds me, like, seems like something you'd like. And it became one of those moments where I was like, I actually enjoy words, and I never knew it. So thank you for calling, and thank you for the encouraging words. That was great.
Oh, well, thank you so much for calling, Jackie. We appreciate that. And I think The Catcher in the Rye is a book that spoke to a lot of kids. And, you know, you hope that it found its way into all the right hands like it did with yours. From Cindy and Monona, this is an email. I hadn't heard of the Figureheads before, but it's so nice to hear hip-hop that's so positive instead of the kind you usually hear on the radio that can be so demeaning to women. Do you think that's part of what turns some women off about hip-hop? And are you trying to go the opposite way?
Well, for me personally, I have three daughters. I have a 5-year-old daughter, 2-year-old daughter, and a 7-week-old daughter.
Wow.
And so when I write music, very at the core, and even just even before I had a family, my wife, obviously, before we had a family, it was just this sense of I could never write something that would cause a woman to think of herself differently than just being a treasure and somebody that's to be honored. And so it's definitely for me a very, very important and central part of how I would create music or why. But what's disturbing to me is that a lot of women aren't even, some are turned off by what's in rap or hip-hop music, but a lot of women, they're drawn into it, and it actually helps them to define how they want to think about themselves. So a lot of the messages and images become kind of a frame of reference for how I should dress and how I should act with and interact with men and how I should think about myself as a sexual object or whatever. And that's what's really disturbing to me is that so many women love it. That's why it's like, what? Where's the disconnect exactly? But for me, yeah. It's so important that our music communicates the value of women and relationships in general.
Well, we're out of time, both of you, but it's been great to have you on, and thank you so much for being on and sharing your music with us. We'll go out with another one of your songs. Greg Marshall and Jeremy Bryan, thank you so much for being on with us today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Greg Marshall and Jeremy Bryan, members of The Figureheads, a Milwaukee-based hip-hop group that writes and performs positive hip-hop for kids. Thanks to Rana Fanning and Erica Janik for production this morning. I'm Veronica Rickert on the Ideas Network. I'll see you back here next Friday.
A new beginning is trailblazed by amazing women. Do the math, there's more.